Father, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for this time and this space that we have to come together and to find rest in you, to sit with you and learn from you and learn from your word. That no matter what's going on in our week, in our days, how crazy things have been, the things that we are experiencing, whatever it might be, Lord, we thank you that you brought us here today and that you have provided us this opportunity to learn from you and learn from your word. We pray that as we get into our discussion for today, that you bless our conversation, that you bless our study, and that you speak to us, Lord. No matter how many times we have read through the scriptures, we have heard these stories, we have heard similar messages, Lord, you always have something to say to us if we listen. And so we pray that you allow us to have ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was, but I'm doing good. The kids got a stomach bug this past week, and it hit me, because, you know, when you're taking care of two sick kids, it's hard to avoid, but I'm feeling much better today. Thank you all for your prayers, and thank you. I feel good. I'm happy to be here. Gail was on standby. Wasn't sure yesterday how I was going to, if I was going to make it or not, but last night felt great, and so we're here today. Yes. Awesome. Well, so I think something that's incredibly interesting when you look at it is to see the evolution of advertisements throughout the years. You know, you've had people are always promoting something. They're always giving some form of advertisement. You know, it used to be word of mouth, door-to-door salesmen, newspapers, magazines, flyers, radio advertisements, then it turned into TV ads, commercials, and now we're at the point to where now we even have people who are called influencers who are, you know, promoting things on social media. You get ads popping up, and their whole point is to promote some type of product, whether it's fashion, skincare, fitness, a lifestyle, whatever it might be, they are promoting something. And that's how it's been in, you know, our world. Maybe it's changed what advertising looks like, but somebody's always been trying to promote something, to show something. And, you know, as Christians, that's how our life is too. We all are promoting something. The question is, what are we promoting? The Great Commission in Matthew 28:18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" And this, I think, is something that we are all very familiar with, this call that the Lord has placed on our life. But it's foundational to our faith and to our Christian walk, that we are called to go out, to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to bring people to Jesus, but then also to disciple other believers, to help them grow in their faith and help them grow with the Lord. We are called to be missionaries. Dictionary.com defines missionary as a person sent by a church into an area to carry on evangelism or other activities. And if you Google missionary definition, a lot of places add that they are sent to a foreign country or a foreign place. And I think for us, when we hear the term missionary, we often think of somebody who's sent far away, away from home, to preach the gospel and bring the good news. But the thing is, we are called to be missionaries not only in those foreign places, but also right here in our homes and in our own communities. Yes, it's wonderful to go out to preach the gospel. We should do that if that's how the Lord leads. But that's not the only way to be a missionary. We can be a missionary right here at home. So today we're going to be in the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at two women, Lydia and Priscilla, and we're going to see how they both fulfilled that calling of preaching the gospel, of being faithful servants of the Lord, in both of those ways. So we'll start in Acts 16, verses 11 through 15. Therefore, sailing from Troas, he ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. This section of Acts picks up right in the middle of Paul's missionary journeys, where he is now getting called to go to Philippi. So he goes to Philippi, and he ends up having to go out of the city to the riverside to where the Jewish people were meeting. This is where they customarily held their prayer, because they had no synagogue in the city. And it was a group of mostly women. So mostly women, they had no place in the city to meet, but they were devoted to prayer, to seeking the Lord. And so they were out at the river spending this time in prayer. Paul goes out there, he meets them there, and he meets this woman, Lydia. Lydia was a wealthy businesswoman because she was a seller of purple. Purple was a very luxurious product back in that time because the dyes that were used for making purple were very expensive and very highly regarded. So Lydia was somebody who was So it was a very expensive product that she was selling. So she was a very successful businesswoman who was doing this. And she goes there and she meets Paul, and immediately the Lord opens her heart. So she becomes the very first convert in Europe. And once she accepts the Lord, her whole life instantly changes. She then becomes baptized, not only her, but her entire family. She leads them to be baptized. And then she opens her home up to Paul. She shows hospitality. She just meets him, but she opens her home to him because her heart, her life has been changed. And it's interesting here because this church, these believers, these people who now believe in Jesus and have heard the gospel, had no place to meet. They were out at the river. They had no home in the city to meet. And Lydia, when she opens her heart to the Lord, now opens her home. So now these believers have a place, a church, where they can meet. And she probably, because as we talked about and as you women are aware, because she was a wealthy businesswoman, she probably had the means to be able to financially support this ministry and the believers. So she's now using her resources that the Lord has given her to support the ministry. Her willingness to offer her resources and her home shows her active role in the early church, not just as a convert, but in her service, her investing to the church, and in her devotion. We have this woman who was already seeking something. She was out in prayer. She was seeking the Lord, but she didn't know him. And then she opens her heart, and she is immediately changed. In Acts 40, we see that when Paul and Silas are released from prison, they go back to the house of Lydia. And when they're there, they see the brethren. They see people still gathering there, and they encourage them. And then they depart onto their next place. So we see that this, you know, offering of her home for the church to gather wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a continual thing. Now there's a church in Philippi because she accepted the Lord, she opened her heart, and then she opened her home. She used the gifts that the Lord had given her, the resources that God had given her, to serve her immediate community, to be an evangelist, a missionary, right where she was at. Moving on to Acts 18, we'll look at Priscilla, and we'll start in verses 2 through 4. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So in these verses, we see that Paul now arrives in the city of Corinth, where he meets Priscilla and her husband Aquila. And he stays with them, and they get to work together as tent makers while they are doing ministry. So in these few verses, we immediately see the groundwork of their friendship and their ministry partnership forming. It's built off of the common ground that they have from their work, but also from their ministry and their love for the Lord and their wanting to serve the Lord. They are like-minded in Christ. And that is so important for us when we are doing ministry, when we are serving the Lord, is we want to be like-minded with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we see that that was very beneficial to the ministry that they had in their partnership with Paul, because they continued to follow him. In Acts 18, he stays in Corinth for a while, but then he leaves to continue on his missionary journeys. And Priscilla and Aquila follow him. They go with him to continue his ministries because they have developed such a deep friendship, a partnership, and they share the common goal of witnessing and sharing Jesus, sharing the Lord. So they follow him. And then in Acts 18, verses 24 through 26, we'll see some of their actual ministry at hand. It says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos was born at Alexandria. An eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace." So we see in these verses Apollos, this man who was, he was eloquent, he knew the scriptures, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but he didn't know much about Jesus. He hadn't been discipled in the church yet. So he comes and he starts speaking. And what he's saying, you know, it's accurate, it's good. He has this passion, this fervor for the Lord, but it's not, he doesn't have the full picture. And so Priscilla and Aquila, having a deeper understanding of the Lord, more knowledge, pull him aside and now begin to disciple him. They give him a fuller picture of what he is missing. They fill in those gaps so that he could be more effective in his ministry. See, discipleship isn't just for the individual. It's incredibly important for that individual. It helps them grow in their faith, helps them have a better understanding of the Lord, helps them work on their relationship with the Lord. But then it also benefits their ministry as well, who they are going to reach, who they are going to impact. And we see that when Apollos goes off. He goes off to Achaia, and with this instruction of Priscilla and Aquila and the letters of reference from the church in Ephesus, he becomes a very effective servant, and especially, it says, among those who are opposing Jews. And so we see this importance of discipling younger believers. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You could have just become a Christian. You could be a Christian for many, many, many years. We are still called to serve the Lord and to disciple him and to share his word and his promises with other believers. We're not just called to absorb what he teaches us and just hold it to ourselves. You know, think of a soapy sponge. When you get your sponge all soapy wet with water, if you just hold it there absorbing it, it's not effective. It's not going to do anything. But if you take that sponge and then you use it to clean your dishes or your counter, whatever it is, then it's being effective. We aren't just called to absorb the word of God and hold on to it and sit on it, just holding it. We need to absorb it, But then we need to do something with that. We need to put it into action. And that's what we see them doing right here. They are putting it into action by discipling Apollos, by letting the Lord work through what they know and sharing that with him, and then benefiting Apollos' ministry, which then benefits other people. You know, he's an effective minister, so then the people that he reaches are benefited by it, and then they can benefit other people. And it's this giant chain reaction because they were devoted to serving the Lord and to sharing about him. In Romans 16, 3 through 5, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So now we see that they are in the city of Rome, and that, you know, through their ministry, they have been incredibly devoted to Christ and self-sacrificial. Paul mentions that they risked their necks for his life. And we can take that back to when Paul stayed with them and they sheltered him. You know, he was in danger when he came into Corinth. And so for them to take him in and to shelter him was risky for them. But they did that. And then they continued along with him on his ministry journeys, which we know Paul is in and out of prison. It's risky. But they were devoted to the gospel, to sharing the Lord. And they followed him. And they did that. And they served in many churches. They served in Corinth, which we saw in Acts 18. They served in Ephesus, which we saw in Acts 18, but we also see again in 1 Corinthians 16. And then in this verse, we see that they served in the church of Rome. So everywhere that they went, they served in churches and had churches within their homes. They didn't just go to these places and share a little bit about the gospel, but they got involved. They were active in working for the mission and working for the Lord. They were strong disciples. They were discipled by Paul, following him along in his missionary journeys, and then they used that to disciple others. And a fun little aside that we see, too, in this story is we see the benefits of having a strong partnership. And here we look at the partnership of a spouse, a husband and wife. They were on the same page, working for the same mission, and they were benefiting the gospel, benefiting the ministry. And this is in contrast to the story of Ananias and Sapphira, if you guys are familiar with them, who lied to the Holy Spirit and were killed. They were united, so they were united on the front, but it was against the Lord. They were not united on the correct thing, and it had a negative effect for them. The benefit of being positively united in partnership with your spouse or whoever you're in ministry with is so beneficial for the gospel and for the kingdom. And that is our mindset, that when we are working with our brothers and sisters, if you are called to be married and you get the privilege of serving with your spouse, that you are united with them. But whoever you are in ministry with, being like-minded, working together in that partnership to fulfill that great commission that the Lord has called us to. So this leaves us with the question of, what mission are we on? As we talked about this morning earlier, we're all on some form of a mission. We all promote something, whether we want to or not. Just our actions are going to promote something. That's the kind of society that we live in. People are always looking around saying, oh, what are you doing? How are you living your life? How can I learn from you? Whatever it might be. People are looking at everybody around them. And so we are going to promote something. So the question is, what are we promoting? Are we promoting a healthy lifestyle? Are we promoting some type of belief, some type of thing, an object, an idea? Are we promoting the Lord? What does our life, the way that we live it, the way that we act, promote? Are we devoting ourselves, our resources, our home, our time, everything that we have to serving the Lord and furthering his kingdom? Or are we in it kind of half-heartedly, where we say, yes, I'll go to church and I'll devote Sundays and Wednesdays and small group times to the Lord, but every other time is for what I want to do or whatever it might be? Or do we have our whole life, even those things, our family, our home, our job, our finances, do we use those as a ministry to the Lord, to be devoted to the Lord? Because those are gifts from God that he has given us, that are his, that we want to use to serve him, to honor him. Both these women, Lydia and Priscilla, were extremely foundational in the early church. Extremely foundational as Paul is going around in the book of Acts, starting the early church. These women played a key role in that. Their story looks a little different. Lydia stayed in her town, but she was foundational in the church being created there. Lydia traveled along with Paul, but again, she played a huge role in those churches. But their purpose and their heart was the same. Their purpose, their heart was to serve the Lord, to further his kingdom, to create disciples. So whether the Lord calls us to go somewhere else on a missionary journey, which I think he calls a lot of people to, but when you look at a major congregation, I think that's a smaller amount of people that he calls. Or he calls us to stay in your own city. Wherever we are, wherever we go, wherever the Lord takes us, our purpose is the same. Our purpose isn't changed with the location that we're at. We don't leave our city and all of a sudden get this refound purpose. Okay, now that I'm in this new country, now I'm going to serve the Lord. Now I'm going to evangelize. Now I'm going to be a missionary. Our missionary purpose is where we're at here and where, if he calls us away. It's a holistic thing, a holistic way of the life, of a Christian life. And it's incredibly beneficial, as we see from both of these women who were so important and so valued in this formation of the early church, which again further emphasizes just the value that you ladies have here, that the Lord wants to use you in for ministry. We just need to be willing to say yes and have an open heart and let him use us. What do you ladies think? Thoughts? That's questions?
True. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta service the kingdom.
It stands out to me that she would have all of these people, all of these men come to her house. It showed her faith. She heard the word. She didn't quibble. I mean, in those days, it wasn't safe, let's just say, for a woman to be out on her own. So she really had been given the gift, not just of finances, but of confidence and strength.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't probably common that they would be going to a woman's house, you know.
Right,
that
true.
That just speaks volumes for what I can only imagine what it was like in those days.
Right.
Just for a woman to be out on her own traveling.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, when you said that, it reminded me of, you know, so many of the women that we have read through as we've been going through the women of the scripture who opened up their home for the ministry. You know, we had Mary and Martha who opened up their home for Jesus. You know, there's so many women who, when they are faithful followers to the Lord, despite the potential risks or the what might be countercultural, they are just devoted to serving the Lord, and they will be willing to take those risks to open up their home. You know, that's a great example to us too, is that, you know, even though we live in a what we might consider a safer society in some ways, there's still risks to following the Lord that we're going to have to take, to being devoted to him. Whether we go overseas or we're in our own home, there are risks that we are going to have to take, but that devotion to the Lord is worth those risks. And we have to trust that, you know, his plan, his protection is going to cover us. You know, obviously we want to be wise about what we are doing. Like when we have a woman's event in the evening time, we have security here. We're being wise about it. But we do know that there are certain risks that we need to take for this kingdom of God, and that the Lord will protect us for this.
It's funny you say it that way, because I remember I could be on the, you know, like out night before I knew the Lord, and it was like, I have no fear because I was in darkness. And now that I am not living that way anymore with the Lord, I am feel more vulnerable but yet protected. So there's a big, there's wisdom in the choices I make versus before it was like no big deal to be out at 3 and 4 in the morning, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, I just wasn't afraid. And so now I have wisdom in where I am, what I'm doing, and as a leader, you know, I mean, I've been walking with the Lord a long time, so it's been a long time since I was a little crazy college kid, but anyway, just interesting on how in that time in the culture, you know, like for us as women now, it's actually all, you know, the whole equal thing with men, you know, it's just like we need to still serve the Lord and be subjected to how we submit to certain roles and how we are, you know, a very strong personality, but the Lord has taught me how to respect men and in a way that doesn't have me combative, you know. It's really a humbling process when in society it tells you to be something different.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be equal with them as far as, you know, getting in their faces or in leadership. And I found that if I trust the man to lead, if I trust them, and I know sometimes it's not that easy, then I'm honored way better. And it's not a weaker role because I don't consider myself weak at all. But I have the strength of the Lord in the right position to right. be in.
Right. Yeah. I think two things are really, really interesting about what Adriana just said. The first is prior to knowing the Lord, you know, Proverbs considers, talks about the foolish man. You know, before you know the Lord, you don't have the right wisdom of the Lord. And so you can walk on the streets and you can think you're okay. You can think you know everything when you're really not, when you have that, and you're putting yourself in a dangerous and unsafe and a position that draws you away from the Lord. But when you have the wisdom of God, then you have the wisdom to understand what situation you are in and to understand how to approach that in a godly way. Which I think is really interesting about the contrast between, you know, the foolishness that we have, which gives us sometimes a false sense of security prior to knowing the Lord, versus that wisdom that we have to faithfully, securely act and walk with the Lord in our day-to-day life. And then the second thing that she brought up that was really interesting is about the value in a woman's role. Our society is constantly trying to, I think, take away the unique aspects that make a woman special. The God-given qualities that a woman, that God has blessed a woman with, that were made specifically because it was lacking in the garden. Go back to Adam and Eve. Adam was lacking. It was not good for him to be alone. So God said, I'm going to make somebody special to be a partner with you with these unique qualities. And I think society often tries to strip those away to make, in their eyes, a woman who's going to be equal to a man. When the question, I think, has never been about equality, because God always has valued Adam and Eve as equal valued in his eyes. It's not a question of equality. It's a question of how are you using those gifts, you know, and how do you view those gifts? Because what the Lord has gifted us with as women, he values and he cares about and he respects. And when we act in those giftings and those unique qualities that he has given us as women, we can fulfill far more in ministry, far more for his purpose than we can if we're pretending to be a man or pretending to have even somebody else's giftings and qualities. Because he is gifted, looked at every single one of you in this room and said, I'm going to give you this gifting, you this gifting, you this gifting, because only you can fulfill my ministry in this particular way. And that's such a powerful place for us to be in when we act. you know, we look at these women, Lydia and Priscilla, and we see how they were using those giftings that the Lord has given them, specifically for his purpose and for his ministry, and how the Lord blessed those ministries. And all the women that we've been talking about this last year and a half, we see when they function in their God-given giftings and what God is, where God has placed them, they are blessed. But when they function outside of those, then we have consequences, or the ministry is not as fruitful as it could be. And so I encourage everybody here that to function in those giftings. You know, it's not about looking to the left and to the right, to the person next to us and saying, "Ooh, I like their giftings. I want to do what they're doing." It's looking at ourselves and saying, okay, what has God given me? What has he blessed me with? And how can I serve him and further his ministry for this?
Does everybody know what their gift is?
I do. Service.
That's a good question.
And it's a blessing.
Go ahead.
What? What's yours?
I have a list.
I
have the gift of talking to people. I'm not afraid to talk. I'm not intimidated to talk. It's a gift.
Right.
I mean, I'm out walking and I'll talk to any stranger that comes along to tell, you know, give me this time of day.
Okay. Yeah, I think, what was it, back in 2021, we did a really interesting women's small group where we sat down and we went through the spiritual gifts, and then we helped our sisters figure out what their spiritual gifts might be. And that was really interesting, because I think sometimes it's clear. You say, oh, I think God has given me this gift, and sometimes we don't know. And that's okay to not know. That's when we use, you know, we try things out. We see where the Lord's calling us. We serve him. And we have the benefit of our sisters and our brothers in Christ to help us determine where those gifts are. So if you don't know what your giftings are, then that's okay. We will help you, and the Lord will reveal those to you. That's a process that we can all go to together. But everything that he has given you in your life can be a gift for him. And if you are struggling, just come to us, and that's what we're here for, is to help you ladies figure it out and figure out how you can use us to serve the Lord.
We're talking that on Wednesday, so if you were on that topic, so you can look at that online. But one of the things we're also talking about on Wednesday is that exactly what Morgan said, that, you know, when you're being mentored by someone that's a little bit further along in the Lord, usually you can, when you get to know someone on a little more intimate basis, you can sort of see where they're gifted in something. You know, if they're always showing up and bringing you something to eat, well, they must have that gift of hospitality, you know.
Yeah.
And, for me, you know, I'm always cleaning up after everybody, and I don't know what kind of gift that is other than just keeping myself busy. I'm definitely a Martha. So, anyway. So if you guys ever have any questions about that and you want to get a little more information, just go on our website. There's a lot of things that are happening on Monday, midweek, that are just really answers a lot of questions. But if you need someone to talk to you face-to-face, we have Miss Gail here and myself and Morgan as leaders in our church that welcome any call.
Well, right now, I can tell you all the one gift that all of you do have, every single person here, is that you really are genuinely happy to receive people, to meet people, to welcome them, no matter whether they're the first time here or the 100th time here. I see that all the time. I see the fellowship. It's a gift, because there are churches that people are just in groups, they're just in cliques, they're, you know, which is... If a new person comes, that doesn't make you feel great. But I think it's a gift that Calvary has. I see there's nobody that will come here on Sunday morning and be left sitting in a corner. God forbid they want to be by themselves, because it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So collectively, the body of this Christ has that.
You know, it's correct also to ask God for a gift that you don't have, not because you're jealous of somebody else that has it. But, you know, you can ask God, you know, I know that I'm supposed to be doing this, but I'm not good at it, and I need your help, and I really want to be good at it because I want to obey you. If you ask God for a specific gift that he's put on your heart to ask for, he'll answer that prayer.
Because each individual is unique to God, in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And he knows what you can handle as a gift. You know, it can be service. Like, for example, me, to the church where I used to go to in the Bay Area, when my pastor needed something, well, his wife, and she'd go, Carol, go to the store. And I said, okay, I'm leaving. What do you need? And then she would say, okay, I needed this. She would say, here's some money. I said, no, don't give me money. I'm buying it. I'm blessing the church. That's my blessing. So I actually do have the service of, you know, of servicing my church. Or if she needs help or she needs help, I'm there. You know, so each individual, God has that specialty. But we as individuals need to ask the Lord, Lord, what's my gift? What do you want me to do? I'm in your hands. Show me. Reveal to me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, right, right. And I think something that both you ladies spoke about is the heart is what's important. Is where is your heart when you are seeking these gifts and you're asking the Lord for them? Because you can ask the Lord for a gift, but if your heart's not focused on the Lord and wanting that gift for his service, for his ministry, then he's not going to give that gift to you. And he might still not give it to you, but what you need is your heart needs to be constantly focused on the Lord. We don't want our giftings to be used selfishly. We want our giftings to be used for the Lord. And so when you ask for a gift, and yes, it's okay to ask for a gift or to pray for the Lord to reveal your giftings to you, but you need to have your heart serviced on the Lord. You can say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be devoted to you. I feel like this area would be a good area for me to serve in, but I want to do your will. Give me the ability or whatever to do that. But your heart needs to be focused on the Lord, focused on his service. And that's a continual thing for our whole life, is everything that we do should be focused with our heart in that place, with our heart focused on the Lord.
You know how you were saying that women are unique and different from men on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
We also have to stop expecting men to act like women. we've got mothers and sisters and aunts for those things that men were not designed to do. You know, let's let them be men, because that's what they're supposed to be.
Yeah. That's a really good point to bring up. Let's let everybody function as God created them to, and their giftings and their callings. Because when we start taking into our own hands, we start acting outside of our giftings or expecting somebody else to, then that's just when things get messy. You know, that's just when things get way too messy. Because, you know, humans are the ones who messed up God's original plan anyways. So we know we don't know better than the Lord. So we just, you know, need to function in his plan, as hard as it is, because I think all of us women want to control things. We want to have the outcome in like a picture bow, perfect little present, be good to go. And sometimes that's not how it's going to be. And we can't control it, because only the Lord has the full control of it. We just can function in what he calls us to do and stay faithful to that.
The women are doers anyway.
I like to get stuff done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there are people who complain that so-and-so isn't doing this or isn't doing that. But in general terms, a woman is like the behind-the-scenes organizer. I mean, this contact has to be made, that kind of, you know, I've seen it like in, well, like with the children. Women are going to be more likely involved if they're, well, today more and more both men and women are working, but it has been that they would be more at home, they'd be connected, be communicating with the school because the dad's at work, and so they're gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not necessarily more involved with the children, but in, you know, there's different roles.
Yeah.
And I watched a situation unfold where I thought this couple was going to get divorced. And what occurred was they were moving. Well, she was pregnant, but she did nothing. I mean, she couldn't even think enough about, well, we need boxes for this and bags for this and whatever. And he was working, and he nearly killed himself. Literally, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. And she just didn't pick up the ball at all. She used this whole, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be unkind, ladies, but she used the excuse of being pregnant for not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, and how I got involved in it is that they needed something. He wanted some tool or something to undo something to her, so I get over there. And he's just sweating bullets. She's just standing there. Well, she could put bread in a bag. She could do this, she could do that. So I think, I just see women as like, you know, on some of the detail stuff, like getting the phone disconnected and doing this, you know what I'm saying? But she just laid it all out there. They didn't get divorced. He calmed down. But I was worried he was going to have a heart attack. So I think we do have roles. We do that. Our brains are wired to multitask. God wired us to multitask. I think God wired men more to do one thing really well, you know, like their job, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They may have the gift of working with electricity, I don't know. But, you know, you've got to use the brains that God gave you, and also the talents that God's given you. Because, and moving is hard on anybody, whether you're couples or individuals, if you ever moved, you're still experiencing the move. You're still adjusting from your move. So I do think that a lot of women will misplace, you know, the role they can have. There's a lot of things you can be in partnership with, and, you know, that move was one of them. But I'm glad they didn't get divorced, but it was, like, so stressful for me. I never even told her what I saw. I keep wanting to sit down and talk with her because she still does a little of those things, but she's not as bad because she's not pregnant right now. But I just, and I feel guilty because I'm not married and I don't know, but I can just tell you what I saw. And it was like, I don't care who it was. If you're moving out of the same house together, then everybody needs to help.
Yeah, and I think something that's interesting about what you said was that people like often misplace the role of what they can have in a situation. And I think we see that so much, you know, in marriages, in the world, in society, or, you know, even sometimes in the church, people will see, you know, one position as they think being the most powerful or the one with the most glory. And we don't have to get into this full conversation right now, but people will, like, maybe look at the pastor and the person who gets to preach on Sunday mornings and be like, that's the most important role in the church. When that's not the most important role in the church, that's a role in the church. That's a role that the Lord uses, but that's not the most important role in the church. In fact, women have an incredibly important role within the church. Look at Lydia. Her home became a church because she had that hospitality. At our church, the women often are what's driving the hospitality, the children's ministry, et cetera, et cetera. A church does not function and thrive without each role being fulfilled and to its calling, to its purpose. And so what we, or as the world might think, is the most important or the role with the most glory, in God's eyes, it's not. In God's eyes, what he cares about is our heart and us serving him. And women, we have such a valuable place to where our role within the church can make a church succeed or can make a church fail. You know, I think back to when we were in the middle of COVID and it was cold outside and we were meeting outside, and a woman in our church said, our people are cold. I need to make them coffee and we need to have them something warm to drink so that they can warm up. And that's flourished into the full coffee ministry now that we have on Wednesday mornings from that one little thought. And, you know, there's 100 examples of things like that happen within the church, to where the Lord places a gifting, a calling on somebody's heart, and then he uses it for his ministry, for his purpose, to further his kingdom. And it's the same thing for if you're married, you have the ability to make or break your husband in the way that you support him, that you fulfill your godly callings in whatever role the Lord has placed you in. You have value and purpose, and you can make that situation successful by acting in that calling, or you can hinder it by acting against it, or just refusing to act at all, just sitting back and doing nothing. Because the Lord has given us these giftings, these abilities, these talents, and he wants us to use them for him and for his kingdom.
That's
what I meant to say.
There you go.
I got you. Well, let's pray, and then we'll finish in a song of worship, and feel free to, we can continue discussing this, but I want to be mindful of your ladies' times. Feel free to grab some more snacks and just hang out in fellowship. Yes, thank you for reminding me.
Paul had a prayer request that she
When we were, a few years ago, we had a couple that was very, very involved with our church. You know, I guess you could call the Dan Morrow a deacon, and his wife was also very, you know, in the women's ministry, and, you know, kind of like Brenda and Dan. At any rate, I just got this message from her. They had moved to Modesto a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it's what she says, "Hi Paula, I hope you maybe are well. I'm in Sacramento having had surgery yesterday for masses in my abdomen. My ovaries were cancerous. We won't know the whole story for a week or so. I'm recovering well, I think. Dan and Kristen are here alternating visits. They're staying with their daughter-in-law's parents here in Sacramento. I sure would appreciate your prayers. And I wanted you to know." So, Margaret Morrow.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
I also have a prayer request for a man and his girlfriend who's pregnant have been coming to church. And so she just had her baby a couple of days ago, and it just went into NICU. They said that he's kind of having problems breathing. So just...
The babies?
Yeah.
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy, Matthew, yeah, the name's Matthew. So, but the dad, knowing that Jesse and I come here, you know, and he's come here a couple of times now, he came over, he's really shooken up, you know, he just goes, "Can you guys pray?" You know, and so I said I would mention it to the ladies here. And I can't.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing. It's wonderful to have a place where we can bring these things before the Lord. And if any other ladies, feel free, you know, if you ever have a prayer request that pops up, we have a really strong group of women who are actively, constantly in prayer. So send it to one of us, and we'll make sure that it gets out, if you want it to. Make sure that it gets out to the right hands, so we can be praying behind you. But we'll pray for Matthew and Margaret now, and then we'll finish in some worship. Father, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in our lives. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and lay our burdens at your feet. We pray for Margaret, Lord, for these masses that they have found. We pray that you heal her, that you just allow this to not be cancerous, Lord, and that she can be fully healed and delivered from this sickness. We thank you that they have found them, and that they have a plan for action, and that she has her family here to support her. And we pray that you are with them, that you are strengthening them, bonding them together, helping them through this situation. We pray that she can be a witness to you, to the doctors, to the nurses, to all those that she comes into contact with. We pray that whatever burdens she has from this are lifted off and relieved, because we know that you carry those and that you take care of them. And we pray for her and her family now, Lord. We ask that you are with them in this situation. We pray for baby Matthew, Lord. We pray for this little child who is in the NICU, and we ask that you provide him healing, Lord, that whatever is going on with his lungs, with his body that is causing him to be there, We ask that you heal that you strengthen him, that you help him grow. We pray for the doctors and the nurses who are watching over them, that you give them the correct knowledge and diagnoses to help this little baby, to strengthen his lungs and to help him so that he has no long-term residual effects from this. We pray for his parents, Lord. We pray that you strengthen them, that you give them peace during this time, that they can trust the doctors and the NICU staff with their little child, Lord. We pray for the mother's healing as she's driving back and forth between home and the NICU trying to heal from birth. We pray that you are with her as well, helping her balance her recovery with her baby's health. We lift up this family to you, Lord. And we pray for all of our women, Lord, and all the requests that we have been seeing bounce back and forth in the prayer threads. We lift those up to you now, trusting that your hand is upon them. Trusting that you are providing healing, provision, peace, comfort, whatever is needed to them. And we thank you that this is just one example of our women acting in the gifts that you have given us, Lord, in providing this prayer community. And we ask that you continue to show us our giftings, our callings, what you want us to do to serve you, Lord, and that you help us fulfill those. Help us be missionaries in our everyday life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.